The government at first tried to get me to cooperate against others, which I wouldn't do because I have more integrity than to become an informant. And then they tried to get me to fall on the sword, basically to do what they wanted me to do, and I wouldn't do that either. And the case was drawn out for a long 4.5 years, as you know, where I wasn't allowed to see evidence and, crazy stuff about the laptop and in custody so my attorney could understand what the case was about, and all these crazy things happened. But one thing, I don't know if you know this, in the book, I don't know if you have this in the galley copy, but in the final copy of the book, I'm running kind of a what I call a non-contest because I'm not making a promise. But what the game is in and on each chapter, I have a ciphertext, and there's ciphertext for each of the chapters. And if you solve the ciphertext, there will be 20 questions. And if you read the book, you'll be able to answer those 20 questions. And what I want to do is I have a whole bunch of evidence that the FBI had returned to me after the case, and it's still in FBI, evidence bags with FBI fingerprint dust. So I still have these items, and what I want to do is maybe put into a large bin, the people that answer these questions correctly, is dump it into like a big bin, and choose 10 names, and with those 10 names, they get like a piece of evidence memorabilia. I'm trying to figure out how to do this because I can't make a promise. Because then it becomes a legal contest, and I'm not going to, have to deal with the headache of running a contest. So I'm not going to make a promise to give out any prizes, but just so I feel inclined to give out some gifts if people are able to solve the puzzle and they're randomly chosen as somebody I want to give a gift to. So that's a cool thing that nobody knows about in the book because there's been no publicity about it.
Actually, yeah, in the version I have, it just says code to come. So I don't think that part was put in yet. But it sounds like an amazing thing to really devote even more time to when you're reading this book. It's really something that will exercise your mind and teach you so much. But I got to say, we're up to 1600 now. We really needed to be about 400 above that on the top of the hour, and that was 13 minutes ago. So we're running a bit behind. We need our listeners to do their bit, call in, support the radio station. Remember, the radio station was vital throughout the whole Kevin Mitnick ordeal back in the late 90s and beyond, and also for Bernie S's case and for fiber optics case and for all the other cases that have happened in the many years that we've been on the air and for the cases that will happen in the years ahead. You need a voice, you need an independent voice to be able to say things as they are, to not be beholden to commercial interests. Now, Kevin, you refer to it as a commercial break, and that is what you call it in radio, but we don't have commercials here on this radio station. We have listeners. That's all we have. We don't break for any kind of corporate sponsorship or anything like that. And what that gives us in the middle of the FM dial, it gives us the freedom to speak our minds, to have our listeners speak their minds, to say things that would lose us sponsors. Because we'd be annoying Microsoft, we'd be annoying Verizon, we'd be annoying all the major corporations out there by telling things like they are. Kevin, you could not tell your story on a commercial radio station, right?
No, I could only be, interviewed for a maximum of an hour, because but to be able to tell us, your whole story on a commercial radio station is not possible. But you know what I'm going to throw in? For anyone that decides to contribute to the cause for WBAI, what I'll also do is throw in my lockpick business card, which is kind of cool. So what I'll do is I'll, when you tell me who, who's participated, I will send you the whatever number of business cards you need, and then you could include those in the
So
package.
you're saying everybody who calls in and pledges tonight, in addition, will get one of your lock picking business cards.
Exactly. I'll
Wow.
send them to you, of course, and you can, work out the
Yeah.
logistics of getting it to
Okay.
them.
Yeah. And now it's not illegal to have one of these, is it?
I guess you'll find out.
Well, I mean, it's a business card, but it's also a lock pick. So, wow. It's
Oh no,
actually.
maybe Bernie knows the answer to that one. I don't
Well,
know.
in my state, Philadelphia, Kevin, it's Pennsylvania rather. It is not a criminal offense to have. It's the whole possession of tools of crime thing. It's all in the context of the situation you're possessing them in. So in this case, you know, to show that there was intent to use them in some illegal way would be a real stretch. So I highly doubt any of our listeners are going to get into trouble for possessing your business card, which is really neat. It's a whole lockpick set, which you can break apart. But it fits in your wallet, and you have a whole set of lockpicks at your disposal.
Okay, so everybody who has called in so far and pledged, you're also getting that. You don't have to call back. And everybody who calls in from this point on, in addition to the movie and the book and the bumper sticker, you're now getting a lockpicking set in the form of a business card. And for those of you who pledge $125, in addition to that, you're getting a whole bunch of DVDs, a dozen DVDs from the various Hope conferences involving Kevin Mitnick. 212-209-2950. If that doesn't bring a whole bunch of calls in, I don't know what we can possibly do to convince you that this is a worthy cause. This is something that people need to step up and be counted. 212-209-2950. We have three calls on the line. That's great. We should have seven calls on the line. There are a lot of people out there. A lot of people are listening to this. A lot of people are benefiting from the knowledge. And this kind of thing needs to be supported and encouraged so that we can tell things like this in the future. Rob?
I should point out for people who've never seen Kevin's business card that it's a business card. If you break it apart in a certain way, then it becomes lockpicks. So what we're sending you is a business card. It's up to you if you want to make it into lockpicks.
I see. Okay. So that's what we're ducking behind. Okay, good. Fine. That works. It's a creative business card, though. I have one myself, and and I'm still free. So, yeah, obviously you won't get in trouble just for having it. But be careful what you do with it.
Yeah, you know, everyone really should. Anyone who hasn't called in at all during this fundraiser or maybe has thought in the past, you know, maybe next time, you know, there may not be a
There
next
is no
time.
Next time.
Exactly.
I mean, we're just doing this tonight. Kevin, we only have about another 40 minutes, and then Kevin's going to sleep. He's over there in Spain where it's, what, 3 o'clock in the morning over there, Kevin? It's ridiculous.
2:17 a.m.
It's way late, but of course that's normal for you. You stay up all night usually, right?
Oh, definitely, you know. And, you know, you guys don't want me to have to create content for the second version of the book, do you? So let's keep it just one book, please.
Well, I think you have an unending supply of stories, and you certainly prove it with the 400 or so pages of this book. A pledge of $75 gets you the brand-new Kevin Mitnick book coming out next month, the story of his life and all the things that he wasn't allowed to tell you before. You'll get the 2-hour documentary plus about 3 hours of extras, Freedom Downtime. You'll get a bumper sticker. You'll get the lock-picking business card. That's all for a pledge of $75. What a great deal. 212-209-2950 for a pledge of $125. You get all of that plus the DVD set of Hope Talks involving Kevin, including his keynote address, including the informants panel, including his lawyer in 1997, all kinds of things. Kevin has been sort of a theme of the Hope Conference. It was back in 1994 when we first started that you were actually on the run because of that July 4th, 1994 story by John Markoff on the front page of the New York Times. You couldn't go to the first Hope Conference, but you were calling in occasionally and talking to us on various phones, and we didn't know where you were. And you're still a part of it to this day, and we'll be in the future as long as we continue having conferences. But your story just is so compelling and something I think we can all identify with. Four calls on the line, 212-209-2950. That's the phone number. I would like to play another excerpt. This comes from the last Hope. Is it the last Hope? No, I'm sorry. It's the fifth Hope back in 2004. Story of some of what Kevin did in early parts of his life and things that were a bit inspirational. I would love to see a flurry of phone calls come in while we're playing this excerpt. It's very important that we hear from you. That's why we're here tonight, because of our listeners. The station has existed since 1960. In fact, if you go through the FM dial, you will find every single frequency in this city has changed formats, changed ownership, done different things, has not found its niche yet. WBAI, we've been doing this since 1960. We've had thousands of different radio programs on in that period of time. Imagine the communities that have been served. Imagine the communities that have been strengthened as a result of that. And in all that time, not one single commercial, because you, our listeners, are the sponsors. 212-209-2950.
Now, everyone, you should remember, in a world like this, people vote with their pockets. If you don't donate to the station, it might not be there in the future. If you don't donate during the show that you might like, it might not be on next week. Or future fundraisers, you might have automated just recordings going on instead of, you know, hearing very interesting, informative stories from people that you'd never hear on commercial radio.
We take credit cards, we do the monthly billing thing, all kinds of options. If you can afford a Big Mac or are going to movies or things like that, why not consider making WBAI as important, at least to you, to preserve that, to keep that going? Because it really doesn't cost very much more than what people do in normal day-to-day life. And WBAI should be a part of everyone's normal day-to-day life, I think. 212-209-2950. We have 5 calls on the line. Great response so far. Let's please keep those calls coming in. Let's go back to 2004 and listen to what Kevin had to say at the Fifth Hope Conference. And we have so much more to come. We have the Off the Hook show later tonight. We have Steve Wozniak tomorrow. Jell will be out for Sunday. But now, for today, we have something that we have never been able to have before, because back in the first Hope, back in 1994, Kevin was in prison. And after that, he actually, no, 1994 he was on the run, 1997 he was in prison, and then there was always a reason for Kevin not to be here. But there's no more reason for him not to be here, so he is here finally. This is the culmination. And it's the reason we started the Hope Conference in the first place, to get Kevin Mitnick to New York, and, well, we did it. I also just want to intro a couple of really special people. Kevin's mother and grandmother are here. I think it's... And throughout the entire ordeal of Kevin's imprisonment and prosecution, they have been the strength behind everything. As far as Kevin standing up for his rights, just knowing that there are people out here supporting him, they have always been there, and they've been a real inspiration to me too. Just people who really understand what's going on, what he is accused of, what he did, what's unfair about it. And it's just, I think that makes all the difference when you have people who give a damn, who are standing behind you. So I just want to thank you two for being there and for being here. And we can also say Kevin is the only hacker to bring his mom and grandmother to a conference. All right. And with that, the words I've been wanting to speak for 10 years, ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Mitnick.
Thanks, Eric. Very good. Wow. It's finally good to be home. Well, first of all, I want to thank everyone for showing up for my talk. It's great to be back home again. And I want to thank everyone for all their support they've given me over the years. And today, my talk is going to be a little bit different. I usually talk for companies and conventions and stuff like that, but I'm going to talk about me and the stuff that I've been through and where I'm going and some entertaining stories I think everyone will relate to and enjoy. And I guess I am the only first hacker to bring my mom and grandmother to a conference, so... It's kind of interesting. Anyway, I think I was born... Oh, by the way, my talk is going to last for about probably an hour, 15 minutes to an hour and a half, then I'm going to have a 30-minute Q&A, just so everyone's aware of the time constraints here. I think I was born as a hacker because at 10 years old, I was fascinated with magic. I love illusions. And I would hang out at the corner magic store for hours and hours just to find out the secret to a magic trick. I always wanted a bite of the forbidden fruit, the forbidden apple, and I always was in pursuit of information that should be secret, but for entertainment. I loved doing illusions. I loved pulling pranks on friends and family. So about 2 years later, the first system I hacked wasn't a computer, wasn't a telephone, but was the Los Angeles RTD. You know what RTD is? The Rapid Transit District. So as a young kid, my hobby was riding buses. I used to like ride buses around all the way through Los Angeles and San Bernardino. My mom worked long hours as a single mother supporting me, so Kevin had to find something entertaining to do. So one day I'm sitting at the back of the bus, and I'm looking at the transfer. You know how you could pay a certain fee and you can buy a transfer to transfer on a different line? I'm looking at it, and it has a special punch, and it's punched with the date and the direction you're going. And you could use this as a ticket to get on the next bus. So I'm thinking to myself, about 11 and a half years old, this is kind of interesting. So I go up to the bus driver as I'm about to get off the bus, and I go, hey, sir, where do you get these punches? I'm doing a special project for school, and I like the kind of shapes these are. These are really cool shapes. Where can I buy one of these punches? And he told me the name of the store in downtown Los Angeles. I guess that was the first time I did social engineering, 11 years old. So I go to the store in downtown LA, and I buy myself a nice shiny punch. And I go, wow, this is cool. I can punch my own transfers. Problem was, is I didn't have any transfers. So I was thinking, my grandmother lived about 2 miles away from the RTD bus depot. And I was thinking, you know, human nature, people are lazy. So I think these bus drivers, probably after a long day of riding that bus, they take these transfers they haven't used and they just throw it in the trash. So Kevin, at 11 and a half, became a dumpster diver. And I went into the RTD trash and fished out all these blank transfers. And I used to punch my own transfers and ride the bus system. Bus drivers knew what I was doing because they'd see me boarding the bus and I'd have the outline of the punch, right? And I would be so bold sometimes to punch another transfer on the bus for somebody else. And the driver thought it was cute, right? Everyone thought it was cute. No one told me I was defrauding RTD, right? And I guess I have a little bit of photographic memory because I actually ended up memorizing the entire schedule for every bus in Los Angeles County. So if I knew I had to go from point A to point B, I knew what time to be at what place without referencing any type of schedule. So that was kind of interesting. One day I was riding the bus and I met this other guy who was a ham radio operator. And this bus driver says, hey kid, I found this radio on the back of a bus. Do you know what it is? And he held up an HT, Motorola HT, and I go, oh, that's a police radio, I'm thinking. Well, that's cool, I'd like to listen to the police. And he goes, no, this is a ham radio. So he introduced me to the hobby of amateur radio. And I was so intrigued, not with the radio, but of the auto patch capability, that's making phone calls over radio. I thought the auto patch was cool. I could have this little HT handheld, this is like 20 years ago, and I could dial any phone number. And I thought that was, wow, I want to be able to do that. Right? So I won't go into my auto patch stories, that'll be for the next talk. But the most fun I had with radio, before I get into phones and computers, was the drive-up windows at McDonald's. Because you could clip a wire in some sort of certain radios like the Olinco radio and you can go out of band and transmit on any frequency. So we used to have fun at McDonald's. So the customer drive up to the drive-up window, and we now become the McDonald's employee because we had more power. Can I take your order, sir? Yes, I'd like a Big Mac, large fry, large Coke. Oh, I'm sorry, we have changed our menu and now we offer Super Taco, burritos, and we don't offer any sodas anymore, it's only juices. We drive customers crazy. We drove one McDonald's so crazy that the manager came out. We're like a block away doing this, right? Manager comes out, he's looking in the parking lot, he sees no one. Right? And he's looking around, and he's scratching his head, and he walks up to the speaker, right? And he has his face on the speaker, and I go, what the F are you looking at? This guy, this guy jumped back 30 feet. Don't tell the FCC on me. They already don't like me. So let's fast forward a little bit to high school. I'm a ham radio buff, I'm really into radio, I'm into playing with the auto patch, and I meet this other kid whose dad's a ham radio operator, and he was what they called a phone freak. So he wanted to borrow my radio in exchange for showing me stuff about phones, and I could really care less at the time. But then he started showing me some neat stuff, how he can call a secret number in the phone company, and he can give the phone number, and the operator would immediately give the name and address without asking any questions. It was called the CNA Bureau. How he was able, he'd say, give me the name of a family member that has an unlisted telephone. And he would call a bureau called the NumPub Bureau. And he'd be able to sweet talk them out of getting an unlisted telephone number of a family member. Then the really thing that intrigued me is he said, I have this secret test number. You call this test number, you hear a tone, and you put in 5 digits, and you can call anywhere in the world for free. Later on, I found out that was Sprint. And he wasn't calling for someone for free, somebody was paying the bill, but I'm a high school kid, I didn't know. So when I started in phones, it was really learning about the telephone network. I had a passion for technology. It was fascinating. And the people I read about, like John Draper, Captain Crunch, who I know is here, and Steve Wozniak, I read about their experiments with the phone system, and it kind of intrigued me, and I wanted to learn more and more. So the route I took was a very risky route. And this is where I first learned about social engineering, because to learn about the phone company wasn't like you can go down and get a manual. I did read the Bell Technical Journals at UCLA Library. That was pretty cool. But a lot of it was about pretending to be another employee, calling up another department within the phone company and sweet-talking them of how to do something. Like, I have this customer's phone was disconnected by mistake. How do I reconnect it? And then learning about their internal operations. That's where I first learned about social engineering back in the late 70s. But then I got a little bit more bold than that. I really wanted to learn about, you know, the equipment, how it worked. So late one night, around 1 in the morning, I guess it's an action I still regret today, is a friend of mine who was also a phone freaker at the time decided we're going to take a self-guided tour of the Hollywood Gower Central Office in Hollywood, California. So we acquired the door code. So we're in the central office, and we're walking around. It's a 9-story building. And when I get to the 5th floor, this big, bulky security guard says, "Son?" "Yes." He goes, "Who are you?" "Oh, well, this is Adam. I'm with the Cosmo Center in San Diego. I'm just taking my friend here on a little tour of a phone company. He's kind of interested." And my friend looked 15 years old. He says, do you have a badge?" I go, "Yeah, sure, no problem." And I go in my wallet. I go, "Oh, man, I just left in my car. I'll go get it. I'll be right back." He goes, no, you come with me." Brings me up to the 9th floor. And then there's other people there. And they go, "Who are you? Who do you work for?" The 20 questions. And I'm calm as can be. Work in the Cosmos Center. Here's the address. Who's your supervisor? Give him the name of a supervisor, because I already had memorized this information from before. So he goes, "Well, I'm going to call your supervisor right now." I go, "Well, it's 2 in the morning. She's going to get pretty pissed off." He goes, "Well, you don't have any ID. We don't know who you are." "Okay, call the supervisor." He gets on the phone. He gets the supervisor's home phone number, calls her at home, wakes her up, and says, "Yeah, I have one of your employees here named Adam, and he's giving a tour at 2 in the morning? What's going on with this?" And she somehow vouched. She goes, "Oh, yeah, I do have an Adam working for me." And then I said to the gentleman, the security guy, I said, "Well, look, can I talk to my boss?" So he goes, "Sure." And he hands me the phone. And I go, "Oh, hi." And we're talking. She's going, "Who are you?" And I say, "Yeah, I'm sorry that he interrupted your sleep. And I will have that report, you know, Tuesday morning. And, you know, how'd your vacation go?" And she's going, "Who are you? What's your name? Who are you?" And I'm having a call, and I'm pressing it to my ear so they can't hear her side, right? And I said, "Great, well, I'll see you Monday. Have a good day." And I hang up the phone. And I know I have 10 minutes to get out of there. So I call him and go, "See, I told you who I was. I'm really sorry I didn't have my badge. Can you just, I'll just be another half hour. Can I show my friend around the building?" And, "Okay, go ahead." So we go, and instead of going on a self-guided tour, I decided to make a beeline right out of that building. Go to the elevator, down, out. And my friend and I sit in a car across the street, and we're just watching the door. About 15 minutes later, that same guard bursts out of the door, and he's looking all around. Crazy stuff. I mean, I caused so much, I guess, such a pain in the ass to the phone company that they eventually had to take out our telephone. I was at home living with my mom as a teenager, and the phone company actually removed our phone. Can you imagine that? They said, "No phone for Mitnick." And I was thinking, I go, "This is not fair." So I lived in Unit 13, and they actually had it blocked off at line assignment, which is a special division of the phone company, no phone. Okay. So I call up their facilities department, and I tell them, "There's a new unit being installed, 12B. Okay. So someone might move into 12B shortly, so you just should allocate it if they need service. The customer might install a phone there. I wait about 3 days. I go to the hardware store, go get 12B. Take off 13, put on 12B. Phone company was not happy. About 3 months later, they figured it out. They yanked out that phone again. I think anyone in that apartment building, they'd have to go through security before they could get a phone line. I don't know why these guys don't have a sense of humor.
Yeah. Sense of humor is so important in this world. And Kevin, you certainly have demonstrated a sense of humor. In fact, to extend that story a little bit, I believe when, according to the book, when you made up that new address so you could get your phone back, you also changed your name. And do you remember the name that you changed to?
Well, at first, when I was talking to the business office at General Telephone, I identified myself as Jim Bond, you know, and then I asked her, I go, you know, I'd like to get a special number if possible. And I don't remember at the time if they charged for that or if they did it for free. And I said, I'd like a number that ends in 007. So she found that the phone number 895-5007 was, you know, available. I said, yeah, I'd like that number. I'd like that number. So she gives. So she's about to complete the service order. I said, oh, by the way, maybe we should use my full legal name, you know, for billing purposes, because, you know, I send the bills to my accountant. My first name is James. So and she did bat an eyelash. And so I had the phone installed as James Bond, ending in 007. So, of course, the, you know, telco security agents were livid when they figured this all out.
Yeah, livid is definitely the word that describes, and they certainly took it out on you in years to come. And we'll get more into that in just a moment. But I want to thank people who have been calling in. We're within reach of $3,000. So if we get a couple more calls, we're going to move past that. We have to keep going, though. We have to keep these calls coming in. We're offering some incredible premiums tonight. Kevin Mitnick's brand new book, Ghost in the Wires, and it's coming out next month. It's full of all kinds of stories. Of Kevin's life and adventures, evading authority and hacking systems and outsmarting bureaucrats and all kinds of things that we can really learn a lot from and be inspired by. But a lot of really good life lessons to be learned as well. Again, a pledge of $75, you get an autographed copy of this brand new book, plus the 2-hour documentary, plus 3 hours of extras called Freedom Downtime. You'll get a Kevin Mitnick bumper sticker, free Kevin bumper sticker, an authentic one, left over from the late 1990s. You also get Kevin's lock-picking business card. It's a business card that turns into a lockpick, for those of you so inclined to have to use one. For a pledge of $125, add in about a dozen DVD talks from the various Hope conferences involving Kevin Mitnick in one way or another. And you have some really interesting material here, things you will not see anywhere else, and you won't even see it on this station after tonight. So please give a call to 212-209-2950. We have one call on the line now. We have room for about, I think, 10. And the most important thing to remember, though, is that WBAI continues to broadcast off the Empire State Building to 4 states and to the entire world on the Internet because of your support. And it's been like that since 1960. Well, we didn't have the Internet back then, but we certainly had a dedicated audience and a lot of things to say. And the people that have walked through these doors over the decades, it's simply an incredible variety. And so much has been accomplished as a result of that. Basically, it's an investment in the future by supporting the radio station. So while we're talking about all these interesting things and offering all these amazing items, the real reason for you to be calling is because we're speaking to you. You're hearing the message, and you want to participate in this, and you want to make sure that future generations are able to hear this kind of thing over the radio, not just about hacking, not just about computers, but alternative thought of all sorts. 212-209-2950. You know, you might be calling from a place that doesn't have a radio station like WBAI. All the more reason to support this one so that you can continue to listen from wherever you are in the world.
Almost any place doesn't have a radio station like WBAI except New York.
That's true. And New York does not have another place like this. So please keep this one going. 212-209-2950. Mike, you lost the call. We had one call on the line. Now we have zero.
How did I do that?
I don't know how you did that, but
maybe we can replace that call. 212-209-2950 is the number to call to replace it. You can pledge $75, and we will send you an autographed copy of Kevin's new book. We'll send you a DVD copy of Freedom Downtime. We'll send you a bumper sticker. If you pledge $125, we'll send you all that. We'll also send you a dozen DVDs from the Hope conferences of talks related to Kevin Mitnick. You can pledge more than that if you have it. You can pledge less than that if you can't.
Is there a reason you left out the lockpicking business card?
Because it's not written down on my piece of paper is the
we
reason.
We just added that, but yeah, all kinds of cool. Okay, we've got one call on the line. Bernie?
212-209-2950.
Bernie, I know you can bring in another two calls.
Well, I'm going to try, Emmanuel.
All right, I'm just going to let you go.
Our listeners must know that WBAI is almost certainly the only radio station that's going to bring you,
okay, you got one already. Good.
In-depth coverage of this fascinating, epic hacker saga. about having Kevin Mitnick. And on top of that...
There's the other one. How do you do it? You didn't even give out the phone number. Incredible. Well, keep going.
212-209-2950. Besides this being a fascinating epic hacker saga that we're hearing about tonight, this book by Kevin, which you can get by calling that number, provides you with a historical context of how all that fits in with what's going on today. And in addition to getting one of the first copies signed personally by Kevin Mitnick, you're getting getting some historical perspective by the two-hour film documentary, Freedom Downtime, which you produced and did a fantastic job documenting what was going on at the time during Kevin's case, and probably the most appropriate possible bookmark for this book is a historical Kevin Mitnick or free Kevin bumper sticker, which it's a piece of history, and of course a set of Kevin Mitnick lockpicks in the form of a business card. Please call 212-209-2950. Get all of that for a pledge of $75 to support WBAI. If you pledge $125, you get all of that plus a dozen Hope DVDs that are all in some way connected with Kevin, some talk or panel discussion connected with Kevin. So this is really a thematic package to give you as a gift for supporting WBAI. 212-209-2950.
We've had 8 Hope conferences, and nearly every one of them has had Kevin's presence in some way, either with his non-presence or with his actual participation. It's been an important part, a theme, if you will, of the hacker world for the last couple of decades. Join the four calls on the line right now. I know we have enough people down there to handle twice that, so give a call, 212-209-2950, and show your support for the radio station and show your support for Off the Hook and just for alternative thought, rebelliousness, individuality, all that kind of thing. This is your chance to vote for that.
And for all you mischievous hackers out there, just flood that tally room with as many calls as possible, just so they'll be running around like chickens without heads.
No. You have to actually pledge if you're going to call.
Yeah. All right, or you pledge, you know, you don't have to. All right, fine. Then
you have to pay your pledge, too, and you have to use your credit card. Like, not.
Yeah, no shenanigans here.
WBAI doesn't benefit from your games.
No, they don't. 212-209-2950. We have some people to thank. Mike, you want to start?
Sure. Let's start by thanking Nick, who's from Toronto.
Darrett?
We have Daniel from Oklahoma.
We have got David from Ontario.
Wait, when do we stop naming cities? We're naming states and provinces. Don't these people live in cities or towns? Or
well, they live in cities, but I'm sure not everyone knows of where Tulsa is.
Really? Well, I think we might have heard of Tulsa. Yeah.
Well, going. David is in Etobicoke, Ontario.
Now that we never heard of. Yes. I'm certain of that. Voltaire.
Kenneth.
Wait, hang on. Your mic's not on for some reason. Try now.
Kenneth from.
No, your mic has quit working. You're gonna have to use something else.
Kenneth from Fincastle, Virginia.
Okay. Red Hack, welcome.
Hello, I've been down in the tally room.
Yeah, keeping things under control.
Trying to.
All right.
I'd like to thank Ray from Phoenix, Arizona.
All right, I want to thank Jason. He's calling from Sihung in South Korea. Yeah, beat that. All right, we got people from South Korea listening. Represent there. 212-209-2950 and country code 1 for those of you calling from outside the area, in case you didn't know the United States was country code number 1. 212-209-2950. Thanks, everybody, for calling in. We have more people to thank.
We want to thank Kaven from New York.
New York City.
I'm being all right. Inclusive here.
Yeah, all right. And add in another thanks for probably the only other person from New York we've been thanking so far is Rita from Manhattan.
Okay.
And Nathan from Olympia, Washington.
Thank you, Nathan.
Christina from Beckley was
West Virginia.
West Virginia, thank you.
Okay.
Brendan from Brooklyn, New York.
Thank you, Brendan.
And we want to thank Adam, who's from Holmdale, New Jersey.
All right.
Do I have the last one?
Yes.
Thomas from Briarwood, New York.
All right. And there are more people calling in right now, and we want to keep those calls coming in.
We want to thank them as well, although we do want to probably won't have time to
well,
do so
if,
by
if
name.
If you call now and make your pledge, maybe we'll have time to thank you. We only have about 15 minutes left, so we have a lot of material to cover in that time. And, Kevin, it's something I wanted to bring up with you. We were talking about sense of humor and maybe also mutual respect. There's a part of your book where you're talking about a Bell Security investigator named Daryl Santos. And this is the part of the book that I found very interesting. You say, much later, in an interview for this book, Santos would recall this was a real big deal for us because now it hit home. It was personal. Kevin was listening to our calls when we were in the business of trying to listen to his calls. Then he has our intercepts on his lines taken down. So it made us really change how we spoke on the phone and the messages we left. And we had to create some new ways to cover our tracks because we also had to protect the integrity of what law enforcement was doing with us, all of their court-ordered stuff. It sounds like this guy, in the end, wound up respecting your skills and your abilities and sort of seeing you as a worthy adversary. But it also speaks to how you were simply trying to find out what the authorities were doing to you.
Yeah, and what had happened is I started associating with this guy named Eric Hines, who contacted me through a family member's, through my my stepbrother's girlfriend. And what Eric turned out to be is he was working for the government, but I didn't figure it out for several weeks. And I had to do a lot of phone tricks and a lot of an investigation to figure out what was going on. And then it hit home as I was thinking, geez, if this guy is an FBI agent or informant, maybe they're monitoring the telephones at my dad's apartment, because I was actually at my dad's in Los Angeles at the time because my half-brother had just passed away. And so I decided I would call. Now, my dad had three lines at the house. So I decided I'd call the central office in Calabasas, which was a 5ESS office, and try to find out if there were any security monitoring boxes in use. So I called the frame technician posing as security in Los Angeles, and eventually I found out that they indeed had three boxes that were monitoring some subscriber in Calabasas. So immediately I thought, oh my God, those are on my dad's lines, and going to get my supervised release violated. I'm on my way back to prison. I got to figure out what's going on. And then I had the frame tech trace out the connection there's actually two connections to the monitor box. One was an incoming connection where Pac-Bell Security was calling into, and the other connection was to the target line. And I had the technician trace out all the connections to these monitoring devices. And it turned out that they weren't on my dad's lines. They were on a PI, a company that did private investigation known as Teltech. And I remember going home that night and telling my dad, oh, I'm so happy. I thought we were being wiretapped, but it turned out they were on this company called Teltech. And my dad rolls his eyes thinking, you know, I'm living in some fantasy world that I could actually check to see if our lines were being wiretapped. But back then you could, because they had to make physical connections on the frame to the subscriber lines. And today it's like Kalia, it's done in a different way. So I told my dad the story, and he goes, wait a second, Teltech? He goes, I know one of the managers that works there. And he called the manager over, and I told him the story, and he was like flabbergasted. First of all, he looked at me thinking, you know, what does this kid know? What's he talking about? And I demoed some of my phone tricks to him, and he became a true believer. And then, a week later or so, I had found out that they actually moved the wiretap. And the details are in the book Ghost in the Wires of how I figured this out. And they actually moved the wiretap over to my dad's lines. And I remember I was kind of irritated with the phone company. They were actually wiretapping my dad. So I decided to actually take the intercepts down. So I didn't actually have them just removed from my dad's lines. I actually had them put on just innocent subscriber lines, actually had them moved to somebody else. And it took them a while to figure out that the taps were actually moved. And they started investigating it. The person at the frame told, you know, security, oh, somebody from here, you know, from security in Los Angeles called and had us move the taps. But then it hit home because the people in Los Angeles never called to do any type of wiretaps because that was all done from Northern California.
Mm-hmm.
So they were pretty surprised that not only did I figure out that our lines were being tapped, but I actually moved them.
That's chutzpah, definitely. There's no question about that. Now, you know, I know a lot of people would look at your exploits and say, wow, you know, you deserve to go away for a long time because you're messing with law enforcement and investigations. But really, you were simply looking into your own investigations against you and sort of playing a battle of wits with these people, but never actually causing damage or profiting in any way. I mean, you listened in on the NSA at some point when very few people even knew of their existence. That's true, right?
Let me check and make sure the statute of limitations has expired. Hold on 1 second. Oh, yeah,
no, I was talking to Bernie. Bernie, yeah, that's true, right? Yeah. No, okay. It's in the book. It's in the book. All kinds of stories like that.
But yeah, that's true. I was actually able to intercept an in-progress NSA phone call by manipulating the switch in Laurel, Maryland.
But as a result of all this, and please continue calling 212-209-2950. We had 5 calls on the line a moment ago. Now we're down to 2. So please give a call now and get this autographed copy of Kevin's new book, 212-209-2950. But as a result of all these abilities that you had in ways that you just pretty much walked right up to the person you were least expected to walk right up to and challenged them and outsmarted them and got information from them, this resulted in you achieving almost superhuman status in the media, and people would basically blame anything that happened to technology adversely on you. I was wondering if maybe you could think of a few Mitnick myths that were out there where you basically got blamed for completely incredible things.
Well, being able to whistle the launch codes for NORAD comes to mind. I got accused of planting a false news wire about Security Pacific Bank losing $400 million. I got accused of hacking into Xerox. I got accused of actually wiretapping the conversations of the FBI, which never really happened. There's just so much. Even that phone company security agent that was interviewed in the book actually said that any company that had an intrusion, they immediately thought I had done it, you know, without any evidence whatsoever. Oh, it had to be Mitnick. Mm-hmm. So pretty much I was the guy that, you know, got blamed initially until probably they investigated it and found out it indeed was not me.
Something else I want to touch upon. Again, 212-209-2950 is our phone number. Please call in and pledge. I'm sorry.
You have just 7 minutes left.
7 minutes left. So please, it's an urgent appeal at this point. Reading the book, I learned that you actually have some ties, and this is sort of apropos because we have the German hacker camp coming up in just 2 weeks or so. The Chaos Computer Club, you had some ties to them back in the 1980s?
Yeah, in fact, they developed a stealth patch to the VMS operating system. They modified two system programs. One was called Login Out and one was called Show. And it was pretty much a Trojan, kind of a Trojan and a clever backdoor into the VMS operating system if you could replace these two programs. And I was actually, and it was done very cleverly. Even Digital Equipment Corporation was actually, complimentary about the sophistication of this type of work, you know, and we're dealing, you know, we're talking about 1985, you know, today it would be, it wouldn't be anything special. You know, it wasn't Stuxnet. What had happened is I thought, well, you know, how I found these patches was, you know, when I hacked into Digital's Equipment Corporation's VMS engineering groups systems, I got into Andy Goldstein's email, and Andy was one of the, leading gurus of VMS, and I was looking in his email just for security related stuff, and came across an analysis of the computer Chaos Club's patch to Login Out and Show, and I was impressed with it, and then I decided, hey, I'm going to try to contact the CCC myself and see if I could find out the author of these patches, and I actually tracked down one of the guys. Who was in a hospital dying of cancer at the time. And I don't recall the gentleman's name, but he was actually surprised that here Kevin Mitnick was calling from America to congratulate him on, work well done. And then he said, well, he had a whole bunch of other stuff that he would like to share with me, but didn't have a computer at the hospital. So actually snail mailed me a whole bunch of stuff that they were doing with the VMS operating system, which was quite cool.
Wow. It just goes to show how these worlds just merge together and how all the hackers of the world eventually find each other and share information and move society in one direction or another. It's an incredible story, and it's one that you've told so brilliantly in Ghost in the Wires. Again, Kevin Mitnick's new book coming out next month. Please give us a call now. It's the last 5 minutes of the program, your last opportunity to get this autographed copy of the brand new book by pledging $75 for this and the movie Freedom Downtime and the lockpicking business card and the bumper sticker. Pledge of $125, add a dozen DVDs of Kevin Mitnick Talks. To that, 212-209-2950. We have one call on the line. Let's have a last-minute flurry and get a dozen calls. It would be great. It would put us right over where we need to be. 212-209-2950. Kevin has been speaking to us for 2 hours from Barcelona, Spain, over Skype, and it's simply been an incredible night. We can go for another 2 hours. I'd love to. All kinds of things we can talk about. But imagine you have this book, you're able to read this for hours and hours on end, and the stories never stop. It's an incredible thing. 212-209-2950. Take advantage of this. It's a one-time offer.
Now, folks, it happens every week, and so don't be one of these people left behind like this. We always get emails saying, oh, I want this is amazing premium.
This is it.
Can you make an exception for me?
Yeah.
And no, we can't.
We can't because this kind of a thing, if we were to offer this all the time, we'd all go broke because this is a great deal. 212-209-2950. You have to call in the next 4 minutes or it's all over. That's really the way it is, the unfortunate reality, right?
Yeah, and this is such a seminal chapter in hacker history. Whether you're a hacker or whether you're not, this is pretty much the best reference material that there is available for to learn more about this period in our history. So you've got just a few minutes now.
Three calls on the line.
Get hold of this.
212-209-2950. Bernie, can you bring in a couple more?
You guys said it best. This is an amazing package. You're supporting a fantastic radio station. It's the only station probably in the United States that's going to cover this kind of material in such depth and with such analysis. So please call 212-209-2950. Support WBAI and get an amazing gift package.
And this is just one show on this amazing radio station. We're usually on for 1 hour a week. And just think of all the different hours there are in a week and how every single one of them is something else, something different. Incredible diversity and significance to our culture, to our history, and to the world, because the entire world can now tune into WBAI. And a lot of people have found this radio station through Off the Hook. And a lot of young people are getting involved. And that's an amazing thing, because that's what's going to propel us well ahead into the 21st century. 212-209-2950. We have four calls on the line, five calls on the line. 212-209-2950. Let's bring us over 4,000. That would be amazing. And you won't regret it. You won't regret having this book to read. I know I haven't, having the galley copy to look at. And, of course, many hours to watch Freedom Downtime, see the movie we made 10 years ago. And the DVDs for a pledge of $125, the dozen Kevin Mitnick talks. And, of course, the lock-picking business card and the bumper sticker. Just an incredible package here. 212-209-2950.
And, of course, you won't regret still having the station and Off the Hook.
That's right.
To listen to every week.
Kevin, I want to thank you so much for spending a late night in Barcelona to talk to us tonight. And I look forward to seeing you in Vegas.
Yeah, I look forward to seeing you at DEF CON. And it's been wonderful. I hope you're able to raise enough money for WBAI. It's a great cause, and I want to thank everybody for being so supportive, and I hope everybody loves my book. Again, it took 2 years of hard work to put it together, and I hope it becomes the catch me if you can for the 21st century.
All right. Well, hopefully nobody will catch you again, but we'll see what happens. Thanks, Kevin, for joining us, and we'll see you later. 212-209-2950. Manual for Off the Hook. We'll see you next week. Good night.